Thank you for joining me today, along with everyone who's making this broadcast a part of their day, coast to coast in these United States, and right around the world, listeners in Asia, Europe, even some parts of the Middle East, on the podcast. The internet is a remarkable tool in the hand of God, and we want to redeem it to accomplish the great commission that Jesus has given Christians. If you follow Christ, pray that God is will be heard by those who do not yet believe in Jesus. As we came to a close last time, I invited you to read in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 18. It's just one verse, and I hope you read it. If you did, you're all set and ready to go. If not, hear now what John writes of his experience listening to the words of the exalted Christ Jesus. I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. As you know, that's Revelation 1, verse 18. And I want to encourage you, if you're able to have your Bible open and in front of you as you listen to me, please do so. That will really help you understand God's word. Be a fruitful learner. And let's get going today in the text by asking, what does Jesus mean when he says that he is the living one? Well, again, as we saw yesterday with the title, The First and the Last, living one is a title for God. God is the living one. In fact, here on God Is, you will often hear me refer to God as the living God. This is why I do that. And because Jesus uses this name for himself here in verse 17, it means that Jesus is God. Jesus is God, which is also something you hear me say repeatedly. Furthermore, living one means that Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. Jesus is before the existence of the world, and Jesus is after the world ceases to exist. He is uncreated. Jesus has always existed, exists, and will always exist. This means that Jesus is always alive and never dead. Even when he was dead, crucified on the cross and secured in his tomb, he was alive. Although his earthly physical body lay in the tomb, his eternal being was very much alive. And so, to make sure you understand that living one is a name for God throughout the Bible, let me quote from a few scriptures. There are a plethora. I like that word. It means excessive amount. A plethora of Bible verses that speak of God as the living one. Here are just three. In Psalm 84, verse 2, the psalmist praises God. Listen to Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 16, Peter famously answers Jesus' question about Christ's identity as such. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's Matthew 16, 16. Easy to remember. And finally, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul refers to the church as the church of the living God. And that's 1 Timothy 3, 15. Notice who the church belongs to. He is the living God. Yes, all throughout the Bible, God is the living God. God lives. And as he is about to say, he is alive forevermore. And this is in direct contrast to all of the gods, small g, of the pagan peoples that surrounded the church at that time and in our own time. Have you ever noticed that Buddha is dead? Mohammed, the founder of Islam, who supposedly points the way to quote-unquote Allah, is dead. There's not one of the multitude of Hindu gods that is alive. And then, of course, all of the gods that non-religious people worship today take the form of dead idols, temples, shrines, altars, icons, televisions, phone and tablet screens, work, and the like. But the one and only true God, the God of the Bible, is alive. He is the living one. Jesus continues with this affirmation of himself in Revelation 1, verse 18, "And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." If you have your Bible there open to the Revelation, you'll see that there in verse 18, as clear as when you get the right prescription in your new eyeglasses. And this affirms what we have just said about Jesus being alive. the living one. And there is that word, behold, again. Remember, we had that in verse 7 of this same chapter, announcing the second coming of Christ. Behold means look, pay attention, be amazed. And what follows, behold, is I am alive forevermore. This recounts the resurrection of the man Jesus from the grave, which we celebrate on Resurrection Day every spring. You most likely call it Easter. Yes, although Jesus in human form, in human flesh, was 100% man, he never lost his deity. He was always also 100% God. Jesus was the God-man. A savior for us, he died and was buried, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. I think the Apostle Paul puts this succinctly and with such accuracy in just one verse in his letter to the Romans. Listen to Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. This is Romans 9, 6. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. And so Jesus, the Son of Man, tells John with a voice that sounds like many waters in the vision of the Revelation, behold, I am alive forevermore. And of course, this provides for a pastoral moment. If you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you accept by faith this glorious truth. One day, you too will be resurrected. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our bodies are coming up and out of the grave. John chapter 14 and verse 19, because I live, you will live also, said Jesus Christ. Because I live, you will live also. What a promise. And God always, always keeps his promises. With God, promises made are promises kept. Christians can be confident in this. And so for those of you secure in your salvation, your rescue from sin, hold on tight to Revelation 1 verse 18. And we will now see how valuable this promise is as we come to the end of this verse. I read now the last part of Revelation 1, 18. Jesus says, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And again we ask, what does this mean? Here's what I'd like you to do. When you get your copy of the Bible out, open it to Revelation 1, verse 18, and circle the word Hades. Hades. I recognize that many of you listen while you drive or accomplish some other task, so I know you do not have your Bible with you at present. But make a mental note of this word Hades, because we have to ask, what is Hades? Or where is Hades? And we need to know about Hades because Jesus Christ has the keys to it. Keys indicate that wherever this place is, it's locked, or the door or gate to it is locked. And Jesus has the key that opens it. He's the keeper of the key. And the Son of Man must think this is vital because he reveals this to us through his willing slave, John, at this juncture of the revelation. Everything that God reveals is imperative that we understand. That's why this ministry exists. We want to know what the Almighty wants us to know, and we want to apprehend his revelation to us. A second and important reason to know about Hades is that many people reading their Bibles do not actually know what Hades is, or there is confusion about it. So what we want to do together, and this will carry over into our next couple of broadcasts and podcasts, is to understand what the Bible means by the use of the term Hades. So pray for me as I attempt to clarify this for you. I am dependent on the wisdom of the living God for everything I bring out of the text for your consideration. And this is particularly true whenever there is confusion amidst the believers and unbelievers on certain passages of Scripture. In this case, a word in the Bible. This word is Hades. So please, when you have a chance, get this circled in your Bible. And the first truth I want to give you about Hades is as follows. Hades is a real, existing place. Hades is a location. Hades is a destination. It is a place, a location of death. Please notice in this verse, Jesus reveals to John, quote, of death and of Hades. Jesus states it this way because some dead people are currently in Hades, and some people, while still alive at present, are headed to Hades when they die. So in your mind, you must relate death to Hades. And given that Hades is a location, then we can ask, where is it located? And the answer is twofold. First, only God knows. Second, Hades is not, it is not located on Earth. You cannot board an airplane for Hades, disembark and go through immigration there in your physical present body. No, Hades is a place beyond this physical universe that one transitions to following physical death, such that in the millisecond of death, the physical body goes into the grave or is cremated, whatever the case may be, but the soul transitions to Hades. Physical death is the condition that transports the soul of certain people to this destination called Hades. And now we must stop to ask a question of monumental significance. Who are these certain persons whose souls go to Hades when they die? Which ones among us are going to Hades upon physical bodily death? What I'm going to do is give you the answer now, and then we will explore this further next time, okay? This certain person of whom I speak is someone who is not a Christian. These are people, sadly, numbered in the multiple billions alive today, who reject Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin, and therefore the only way to God. These are persons for whom their sins are not forgiven because of their rejection of Christ as their Savior, their deliverer from sin. And people who are not Christians will go to Hades immediately upon death. And when you come back tomorrow, I'll say much, much more about this. This is important. We'll carry it into Friday also. So do not miss a single episode of God Is.